Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. We are officially on the air. Welcome to another edition of GeekCast Podcast. I'm Justin Bissonnette. I'm joined by Evan Jalesko. What's up, Evan?
Not much. Playing Smash Brothers on the 3DS down in Florida for a little bit. Helping the old lady move down here for a new job for a year. So, you know, exciting stuff. Try to get internet today. Did not happen.
Oh, wow. That's always we're in that weird generation where we remember life without the internet, but I'm not sure if I remember how life works without the internet.
I remember how terribly. Didn't get to watch any Netflix, anything. Thankfully, I've been just playing fucking Game Boy the whole time and shit out of Smash.
Nice. So we officially have our Peter Parker.
Yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get to see the details of the contract, but the first thing I want to know is, you know, how many films, how many cameo appearances, because Spider-Man's kind of a big deal, man. He needs to be involved with a lot of stuff.
I agree. And does this mean that they'll try and squeeze him in somewhere to Civil War? I think that's a good question.
I think Civil War is
too late.
At least the cameo, you know?
The after credits, you know, I mean, this is a teaser for us.
You wonder, too, what the implications, possibly a Doctor Strange cameo as well, seeing as both are more than likely set in New York.
True. But, you know, a lot of things are set in New York, so didn't we get a Doctor Strange quote-unquote cameo in, that wasn't Avengers. Yeah, I guess it would have had to have been Winter Soldier when they're doing all the name targeting. One of them is Stephen Strange.
Yeah, Winter Soldier. And I think then Jasper Sitwell dropped the Stephen Strange name as well.
I think so. Not 100%.
No, I think that was one of the, you know, we even have Stephen Strange, you know.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Yeah, man, and you could even go as far as a Netflix series. Like, is that a possibility?
God, that would be amazing. Like, maybe they saw what a success Daredevil is, and they want to start cross-branding, so we always say Spider-Man's perfect for fucking Netflix.
So I'll tell this story because I think it's relevant to our podcast. There's a young lady that I work with, who watches Netflix pretty regularly. Every night she watches something. And she asked me for a recommendation. And I said, Daredevil. She said, oh, isn't that blind superhero? No interest whatsoever. Apparently, she finished up Orange is the New Black or whatever. And gave at least one episode a try. After two nights, she is on episode 6 of Daredevil. So how's that for some casual viewer pulling power from the old Daredevil?
Well, like, that's what unfortunately, I think a lot of people thought, oh, it's a superhero movie. It's like, no, like, these are the street levels. These are designed to pull in the people who, like, just let everything, because it's got a flavor of everything, you know? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have, like, I always say it's like a Law and Order without the law. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost a police procedural without the actual police. It's a superhero procedural. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. We covered some Daredevil last show, but we missed kind of an important fact, and that's the, I think it's official, but we'll call it a rumor for now just to be safe, that they're looking to cast somebody in the role of, I don't think it's labeled as Mysterio, but it's Mysterio's quote-unquote shoot name, you know? We can cross over lifestyles here.
Quentin, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay. I know my Spider-Man name. For some reason in my head, I was like, Quint doesn't seem right. But yeah, I think I actually cast him in my Spider-Man fucking movies. You know who would be perfect for this? And I said it when he... Bruce... No, he might be too old. No, you know what? Fuck it. I'm still going to say it. Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell as like the old rundown Hollywood guy who's just who's had enough. Like,
yeah,
and to me that's beautiful.
Yeah, that could easily be the role. I mean, I remember in the cartoon he was kind of a younger guy that had just been eaten up and chewed up and spit out, but the character should really be someone like really jaded and, you know, disenfranchised.
Yeah, and I think Bruce Campbell could be that dude. I've been touting Bruce Campbell should be Mysterio since Spider-Man 2, but that's just, you know, me. Let's be honest here. Has J.K. Simmons been cast as J. Jonah Jameson? Because until then, there's always going to be that little piece missing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, he is perfect. He's the guy, right? I think we all agree that. And he's interested in doing it again. I mean, he is that character. It's just perfect.
I agree. Oh, man. Who knows? Fingers crossed this could be the best Spider-Man movie yet. I always have hopes, Biff. I always have hopes, and goddamn if they don't always dash them away.
It's looking good, man. Things are heading in the right direction, man, especially... I mean, if this is like a 9-film type deal, like there were whispers about to begin with, and they have time to like drag stuff out, and they don't have to put 50 villains all in the same movie, things look pretty good, man.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I also like. I like the idea of the other villains showing up in even the Netflix series. And I think there was a deal where they basically said that they wouldn't be opposed to the characters showing up in other movies, too. To kind of establish them, even if they come back later in the Spider-Man movies, or if just that's the only way that we know they exist, you know?
Yeah.
If Punisher gets his own series, I would have no issue with Tombstone being, like, one of the bad guys.
No.
Yeah, or, you know, is that a way that we get Hammerhead in the MCU, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like Silverman is even a cool character that they could kind of explore some with.
Okay. Like Marvel's so open to, like, everything connects in its own way that, you know, I'm so excited by who could be in, who could show up and what could be where. Like, my God, I get Ant-Man in a couple of weeks. Like, rumors are he's got cameos. And that he's going to be in Civil War, like, just, I love you, Marvel. Like, as much as I might have a gripe or two here or there, like, what you're doing is fantastic. Like, you're building your own world.
There was a spoiler, and I forget what it was.
Well, that's good.
I got it. And this one, this. We gripe about kind of the comic book movie websites that are out there, and you know, we barely got through Avengers, and there were already, you know, Captain America spoilers out there.
Yeah. Oh my God! Like, the day after Avengers: Age of Ultron, I remember the fucking. I'm clicking on Facebook, and there it is, all Marvel cast in Captain America Civil War. I'm like, well, fuck, thanks. There goes that, huh?
Yeah. But they, there was one where there was something like, is this a reveal of a plot line in Captain America Civil War? And for whatever reason, I couldn't resist clicking on it. And it was basically, will Captain America have a hidden base in Captain America Civil War? I was like, isn't that kind of a given? You know, are we at that point that we're that hungry for something that we're reaching for straws with that.
Now, if the spoiler would have been like Batroc the Leaper returns, that's a spoiler worth having, quite frankly, because
yeah,
even if he isn't the mustache-touting Leapus, the fact that he was in the movie was amazing.
I could use him in that same role he was in the first movie in every Captain America movie ever.
Yeah, just a mercenary for hire, and then, you know, just... He just unfortunately keeps getting the shit kicked out of him by Captain America.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Like that could easily be the running gag that, you know, the opening credit scenes is George St. Pierre getting his ass kicked, you know?
I would dig that.
Yeah.
Absolutely dig.
Now, I did not do my homework for this show, and I have not seen Jurassic World yet. Some extenuating circumstances there. But I'll try to catch it between now and the next show, and we'll definitely hit up some Jurassic World. This got released today. I play the Champions of Conquest, the phone app game, which is the Marvel fighting game.
Which I did too until it just slaughtered my battery life. It's like, oh, you're at 80%. You want to play? I'm like, yeah, sure. It's like, guess who's at 15% now just for loading it up, motherfucker.
It took a back seat for me to take pictures of Europe, and those are still on my phone. On my Facebook page as well, for those of you that have me on there.
It's
still cleared out. But it was announced today, and I'm going to try to tie this all together, so if this is awkward, I apologize ahead of time. But they announced Spider-Gwen will be a playable character.
Spider-Gwen?
Yeah. Which makes me wonder. Clearly, Sony is very interested in a female-driven character movie of their own that's been released. Do you think that Spider-Gwen could hold her own and could fill that? Seeing it just seems to be a character that's growing and growing in popularity.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tie this into something else too. But Spider-Gwen just came out like a rocket, like a hit. Like, I think she was supposed to be a one-off, and then, like, reading her book, she was just a device, like one of the other stories for Spider-Verse, but people really dug her. I liked her, but I was more about Lady Spider, steampunk Victorian age, May Day Parker. No, I think she was May Riley. And so, you know, it was one or the other, but I totally dig a Spider-Gwen movie. Speaking of spiders, I don't know if you've seen this, but in the comic universe, they announced a new Spider-Man 2. Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, will officially take it over for Peter Parker. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Like,
yeah,
I hope they sort Parker's life out, but I'm cool with somebody else, you know, taking the mantle. And I think he's a good character to do it.
Yeah. I hope Peter Parker remains a support character.
I think he will. Like, I think, I don't think he'll be in every issue, but I think he'll show up from time to time, which will be cool.
Let's see, what else do we covered Spider-Gwen, we covered that.
We covered Miles Morales becoming Spider-Man, which is totally cool. Although I would have also been cool with Punk Rock Spider-Man. He is pretty much kick-ass. Like, all this, they had a lot of cool spiders in Spider-Verse. Although I will say, one of my saddest deaths in Spider-Verse, not a big spoiler, Marvel vs. Capcom Spider-Man dies. That made me sad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it's like
that's
a
right
it's a one page.
Yeah.
I know, right? Another one, my favorite Spider-Man dies from my favorite Spider-Man story, so that makes me sad. But like it's a one page shot of him like hitting like hyper combo or maximum web, spider swing, and then the dude just like finishing kill and kills him. I'm like, no, I can never play that again. I killed him. But I'll be honest, I was terrible with him in Marvel's Capcom anyway. All his reverse fucking motions killed me. Him and Iron Fist, although I love them on my team. I don't know why.
I'll bring this one up too. And I feel horrible because we only went over about half a show's worth. But a lot of stuff came up in like the news, I guess is the way to call it. It's common for the news, so for us it's straight up news.
Yeah.
Stan Lee kind of came out, and you know, you have the Johnny Storm casting. There's some random castings, and even in the comic books, changing either the race or gender of characters and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did you catch Stan Lee's interview where he spoke about that?
I kind of caught a bit of it, like where he doesn't see why you would do that, like why change the character just to fit, you know, slot A.
Yeah, and I think his main point was if you want to create a character to support that group of people, why not just create a new cool character? which is kind of easy for Stan Lee to say, who's created, like, you know, I would say, you know, over half the Marvel Universe. I just wanted to probe your thoughts on that.
Well, like, I kind of agree. Like, I'll disagree with Bolt on this. I think Kamala Khan is a good character, and I enjoy her, because I see her as, like, a young, like, I draw my parallel to her as, like, a young Spider-Man, still kind of finding it out, the powers, figuring it out, being geeked out when she teams up with certain people. Like, so if her story doesn't go anywhere, then I'll be sad. But I think Kamala Khan is a good character. On the other hand, like, I don't hate that lady, that Thor is now a woman, but, like, why not just make another kick-ass Asgardian? They made Angela a big, important role. And, like, why not do that? Or, like, I see what Stanley's saying, and to an effect, I agree with it. I think it's lazy writing that it's like, oh, he's black now. Cool. You know? Like, I say that about Thor, but now I'm going to totally hypocrite myself. I'm totally cool with Captain Falcon, with Falcon taking over the Captain America mantle. Like, to me, that was a good story, a good progression, and it was something I could believe, you know what I mean? Steve Rogers goes down, they're not just going to switch him back out. Bucky's become his own thing, so who's next best to take his place? It wasn't like there was it's not like Punisher was in line to take his fucking place, you know what I mean?
No, there's like, been kind of built to that. Falcon's been, you know, in the arena, so to speak, for the past, 30 years? Maybe longer?
So it's not. Like, if they would have done Winter Soldier, I actually would have been like, that's dumb. Bucky's become his own dude. Like, he shouldn't be the next Cap. But, like, pulling the mantle and then making it his own, being, like, Captain Falcon America, I'm totally cool with that. Like, that is a good story with a good progression that supports a character. But also, Falcon has roots. It's not like he was just made 2 years ago in a storyline that no one was like, wait, what? Where did this dude come from? Why is he, like, he's been groomed for a while. So I see what Stanley, at least what I think Stanley is saying is lazy writing helps no one. Because then there's obviously going to be the parallels, you know what I mean? Like, when Ultimate Spider-Man came out and it was Miles versus Peter, like, ugh, they're just doing it. So, you know what I mean? But it's good stories. Yeah. It's good stuff. Like, so that's my take on it. Lazy writing helps no one.
It grows and takes off when it's got good story writing behind it, obviously.
You know? So I don't know if that's exactly what he meant, but that's my take on, like, I haven't read the whole interview, so that's my take on what he says. Lazy writing. And how it doesn't help people.
My biggest one is the Fantastic Four. We've clearly covered multiple times our major issues with that. But everything I've seen so far, they recast Johnny Storm, and that's fine. But they kind of took everything that makes Johnny Storm Johnny Storm out of that character, it seems like. Like, it's a very serious... Anything I've seen from Johnny Storm has been very serious, very... There's no smile, there's no grin, there's no, like, just him being an obnoxious loudmouth.
There's nothing about, like, he's just, you know, he's just so anti-establishment without the swarminess of Johnny Storm, you know what I mean? We talk about Tony Stark being, you know, smarmy character, so is Johnny Storm. Johnny Storm is just as smug. He's hot shit, and he knows it. Pun intended. But not like, oh, you know, I could light you on fire. I'm the knight. Like, wait, what? Whoa. What was that?
As that Batman, as that Dark Knight slides out into everything.
Yeah. Like, Jesus, it's like, no, man. If we have time, don't let me forget, I want to talk about Ghostbusters, too. Because new pictures have leaked.
Jump on Ghostbusters, and whatever time left, we'll fantasy book the S.H.I.E.L.D.
First, Derek wanted to know about what we thought of the Joker's new look. And I'll do that, and then I'll go to my Ghostbusters. You can go first, since I just ranted for a while.
The Joker's new look? I want to see it in live action, but as I see more and more, I become more and more disparaged. And I don't. A lot of what DC is putting out seems to be like it's way too cool for school. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Even Will Smith stuff looks just way too like just has to catch the average viewer's attention and make them want to come see this. And that never really bodes well for a comic book story. So, and my views on the Joker look are very similar.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems like DC is like, they like took a study group of like what teams and everyone thinks cool, and then like, okay, now we need to apply these to all our characters. Yeah, it's just like, no, man, like, I don't like the Joker with tattoos. I know that's weird. And, like, I don't like Harley Quinn has him either. Like, I think it's silly, and it's just like, well, like, you know, the Joker could work at Hot Topic. Like, no, man. Like, actually, I like the full look, except for the goddamn tattoos, and, like, that's what kills me. Like,
yeah.
I had a, like, I think Ricky and I talked about, like, I don't really care for Harley Quinn's short shorts and her Daddy's Little Monster top. But whatever, man. Like, there's comics that she's worn similar outfits to them. It's fine. It's not my Harley Quinn, but, you know, it doesn't mean it's bad. But
yeah,
just the tattoos were just like something like a focus group. Like, oh, it'll be awesome if Joker had tattoos. Just like all over, which is total badass. It's like,
yeah.
No, man, it's not. He looks silly in tattoos.
This will be funny because suspension of disbelief, but I can't picture Joker in a tattoo parlor. You know what I mean? Like, where did he get those tattoos? Where was he able to, you know?
Yeah. No,
to not murder an entire fucking building, you know?
I 100% agree. Like, that's what I think. I'm like, man, where does the Joker sit down? And it's not like, okay, well, I'm going to get I'm going to get, you know, comic book covers that I don't know about, but that actually are tattooed onto me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what he did. That's the tattoos he's gotten. Comic covers or comic lingo tattooed onto them. It's just the J teardrop is just like, come on, man. So, there's your answer, Derek. We don't like it. It just, it's not for us. And I don't even need,
don't
you know,
like it at all.
Purple. Yeah, I don't even need purple suit, green shirt, and the tie. Like, you know, like my Joker comes from the Batman the Animated Series. That's the Joker I
prefer
to take to him. But,
yeah.
I'm acceptable of other Jokers, but so okay. On to Ghostbusters. I'll talk about this for a minute, and then we'll fantasy draft. Like, I had a couple conversations with people, and like it always resorts to this one thing. This is why I don't like the new Ghostbusters in their mind, and it's an all girl cast. You think it's a gimmick? You think it's stupid? And the answer I say to them is no. The idea of a reboot or a retelling is stupid to me. Like, you left Ghostbusters is just this huge sandbox world. Why retell it? Like, you have to get your spin. Like, how arrogant that you feel. It's not like Ghostbusters had an ending, you know what I mean? It's not like the end of Ghostbusters 2, and then like, and there were no more ghosts, like, no further stories, you know? Like, the world is out there. There's comics based on it that are really good. There was a, you know, an 80s cartoon show that was had its highs and lows. But, you know, they fought Cthulhu in the cartoon show, so whatever. The Boogeyman still creeps me out, man. Whew. Like, me and my buddy were watching YouTube clips, and it's just goddamn creepy. But, like, I don't want to say arrogant, but it is. It's like, listen, what you know, it's all right. But wait till you hear me tell it.
Yeah.
Now it's good.
No,
you know what I mean?
It is arrogance. It's complete arrogance. And it kills so much movie-related things.
Well, it kills moments. And then it's like Dan Aykroyd, I'm sure, will appear in some in a wink and a nod to the fans. It's like, no, Dan, that's not a wink. Like, I played the Ghostbusters video game. That was a good third movie. I would recommend that to anybody. The game, by the way. But it's just, it's so goddamn frustrating. And I look at the screenshots, and it's like, and all that I hear, like this interview, where it'll be funnier and scarier. It's like, What? Ghostbusters was never about being scary. It was a fucking comedy movie. Like,
yeah.
If anything, it was more of an action comedy movie than anything, but it wasn't. It was just a comedy. And it's not a horror. What are you doing, Paul? Oh, stop. And it's just stupid. And, like, what sucks is I like the four women they have. And I think that they've written roles for them that are exclusively to their strengths, which makes me sad a bit. I think Kristen Wiig is like a straight-laced spangler. Excuse me. I don't think that's her name. I don't know what it is, but, you know.
I think I just realized that I only picked two characters for our fantasy booking here.
That's
fine.
Sorry, I'm almost done. There. Hurry up. You gotta start thinking because I'm almost done here.
Yeah.
But, like, I would love to see this movie if it wasn't so presumptuous of this is my telling of it, and if you don't like it, too bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In one conversation I had, she was like, well, you're just misogynistic. I'm like, you don't mean, no. You
yeah.
don't know what that fucking thing means. You just, nowadays, I just see that term just fucking thrown around. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm opinionated. And I dislike someone telling me that their telling of the story is better than what I was originally told. Like,
yeah. Like there's pretty no much, issue whatsoever with it being a women's Ghostbuster.
I have a problem with the all-male cast Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
For the exact same
reason. It could have stuck in canon and still been that, you know?
And I would have been 100% fine with it.
Yeah, it's the fact that people have to put their own spin on things that don't need, quote unquote. You're already putting your own spin on it by directing the movie. You don't have to recreate the whole world. You know?
Yeah. It's like, I want to go see that. I really, really want to see that in theaters, but I won't.
Yeah.
And I won't. And it's just shitty because it's like, I'm feeling pride of a movie that I think it'll be good too. Just not what I want. And it's like, none of them. Okay. All right, okay. I'll go on. I'll do this another day, but we promised a fantasy draft. And you can go
we'll,
first.
No, we got like 2 minutes. We'll go ahead and we'll push that back till next show. And
okay.
We'll finish up on this because we're hot on this. I think it's worth talking about. So.
Are you just pushing it back because you just realized you only got two people?
I got an easy fill-in for that one, but I think we also have, like, a whole summer until Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts back up, so we can easily put it on next show.
That's true. But, like, in the pictures of the new Ghostbusters, it's like, it just screams to me of trying too hard. One of the girls is, like, holding, and she's all covered in slime. And it's just, I was like, I get it. You want to try and recreate some of the fun scenes. No, man. Do your own thing. Like, that's my problem with this. Like, it's my retelling. It's like, we'll see similar scenes that are like, wink, wink, nod, nod. It's like, hey, that's great, man. I've already seen it.
Yeah.
And I liked it way better. Like,
yeah.
Don't.
And
it just feels insulting.
It ties in with what we talked about, DC, where it's, okay, what is the middle ground viewer going to enjoy instead of going after those, like, I mean, for lack, you know, it's a little selfish because it is us, but the hardcore fans, you know.
And I mean, there's some selfishness on my end, wanting what I want, but I feel his selfishness in recreating a whole new universe far outweighs mine of just why do you have to create a whole new universe?
Yeah. Well, you have to think, too, it's kind of short-sighted, too. Sure, you may pop that first weekend box office, but think of, like, yourself alone. Think about the Ghostbusters merchandise that you've bought over the years, you know, off of the first two movies, you know, just by making it good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If,
and now you're nullifying,
like,
all of that.
Yeah, if instead of, like, tricking people into the theater to watch whatever it is, you know, get that magic one-time pop, creating those hardcore fans that will embrace the brand lifelong, it has to be more valuable, you know? I mean, Marvel is kind of, you know, not to, to sing Marvel's praises while talking shit about DC and Ghostbusters. You know, the one thing they do that tends to annoy me is they go after laugh a little bit more than I like. But overall, they're trying to cultivate the brand of Marvel, you know, so that no matter what, if you see Marvel, you're going to jump on that because you know, Iron Man was good or Avengers was good. There's a certain quality you know that you can trust.
When they go
after that one-time middle-of-the-road audience, it just drives me nuts. It feels very short-sighted.
No, I 100% agree. It's like, and good, we should toot Marvel's horn more. Like, what they did is they stuck to their guns. Is it 100% comic accurate? No. But you know what? I can live with that.
It's close enough to keep you happy. It's close enough for guys like me and you to go watch it and be like, I can live with that, you know?
Yeah, like I can live with the reimagining of Batroc the Leaper as Dour St. Pierre. But like, you know, what I can't imagine is instead Batroc the Leaper is, you know, a fucking in knight's armor with a sword swinging Captain America.
Yeah. And he's now Bulgarian or something, you know, because that's the country we're feuding with or whatever. That's the major issue. So.
It's just like they knew their fan base and they weren't apologetic. Like Iron Man, like it was an updated telling of his story, but it was still, like I'd say honestly, Marvel keeps it between 70 and 80% comic accurate.
Yeah.
Minus some things that might be a little silly, like, you know, okay, I won't say it, but Bucky, I like what they're doing with Bucky way better than what happened in the comics, you know?
Yeah, well, and I was pissed. The first Captain America, I was like, man, why is Steve Rogers Bucky's, I don't want to use the term stooge because that isn't right, but, you know, like when Bucky's, you know, looking after Steve when they're younger, that initially pissed me off, but now it makes so much more sense for where they're going, you know?
Yeah. And it keeps that they were still friends, but, you know, the relationship changed just a little bit.
Yeah. It's close enough, you know?
Yeah. So it's like, why Marvel is just raking in this fucking cash cow, DC and fucking Ghostbusters and kind of geek stuff in general is kind of like, oh, how can we reinvent that wheel? And it's like, no, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't fucking stick to what you see
works.
Ride
that wheel. Ride that wheel.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And Marvel's really done a good job of proving that you can hit that middle of the road, I mean, common denominator audience by your casting. You know, you're going to get middle-aged single women into the theater or middle-aged women in general if you cast certain dudes as the lead characters, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's like they're not casting no ones. Like, Marvel casted Robert Downey Jr. when he was on his decline, when people thought his career was over. Like, you know what? Nah, fuck it. Robert Downey. All the way. Bank on it. Chris Evans, what had Chris Evans really done big until he was Captain America? Same with Chris Hemsworth. You know, like, fuck. God damn, why can't I think of it? Chris Pratt was just on a fucking sitcom, and then he's Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know?
And
so,
now he should probably be the next Indiana Jones at this point.
Yeah, he's probably the next whatever he wants to be.
Yeah. If Chris Pratt is Indiana Jones, that will top anything. That box office right there will top even Jurassic World, I think.
I agree. And I like how poor Shia LaBeouf had lost that role because he was in the remake, or not the remake, the fourth one, right?
Yeah, the weird Crystal Skull one, yeah.
Yeah, where they give you that wink that Han Solo and Indiana Jones are the same person.
That's
the way I took that movie, quite frankly. Like, aliens exist. I'm like, oh, so they're just going to come back and he's transformed to another world where, okay, that's cool. Like, in my head, I have a whole canon as to, like, when he got kidnapped by the aliens, saved by Chewbacca, and like escaping, and then the one they want. Like, I have a whole canon in my head of how Indiana Jones becomes Han Solo, but you know, a lot of us do now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
I mean, if he was able to survive that nuclear blast in that refrigerator, anything's possible.
Yeah. Oh, obviously. Jesus, that from the janitor from Scrubs. But like DC, they're picking people with well-known names. Same with Ghostbusters. Like, so it's like they're not starting from the thing. Like, Melissa McCarthy fans will go see Melissa McCarthy no matter what she's in. And like sometimes I think she relies too much on the heavy set wacky fat girl jokes, because I think there's a really good comic underneath her. But hey man, you know, it's Hollywood, you play it to your roles. It's just like, you know, they're not casting nobodies for Ghostbusters. They're casting people who will come in, even if it wasn't called Ghostbusters and it was called like Spook Shoot, you know?
Yeah. You break it the same audience, you know?
Yeah, and same with DC. Like, I mean, Khal Drogo is kind of a big deal to cast as Aquaman, because he was extremely popular on Game of Thrones, you know? And so it's like they're not, like Ben Affleck is a big star. I mean, maybe not to us, but he is. So it's like,
they're
trying to reinvent the wheel. And it's just like, don't, man. Do you want to cast stars? Cast stars. But don't be like, you know, we really would make Justice League a good movie or a good setup into it. And you're just like, what, DC? Batman Dark Knight Returns. What?
Yeah.
No, that's not a good setup at all. What are you talking about there? Well, they fight. It's like, no, they don't fight. Why would they fight? What are you doing, DC?
Yeah.
And then you're going to recast a new Flash instead of the kid we got from the TV show? Stop, DC. Please stop.
At least they can make a Green Arrow movie, you know, and recast that, you know.
Hey, we got a Green Arrow movie coming out. Oh, you're going to cast Stephen Amell? Who?
Yeah.
In my head, that's always like a DC executive when they're trying to like, it's the fucking Demange, or what was he called? Oh, shit, what was his name in Guardians? Korath? Who?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're gonna book Grant as Flash. Who? You're like, wait, you don't know you have a Flash TV show out? What? Like, that's always so good to me.
Yeah. Well,
there you go,
Ghostbusters.
We just fixed your problem. Ow. Ricky's listening. You know Ricky's still listening.
Oh, he's got to be, man. So whoever stuck with us on overtime got our full fix. Hopefully some of those execs from DC are listening, but I'm guessing if someone asked them if they listen to the Biss and Evan Geekcast podcast, they would probably say,
who?
Yeah, there you go.
Come on, man. Legendary podcasters. God. Oh, real quick, I'm going to do this. A Blu-ray I'm on has sold out on Amazon as the lead star of the movie Meet Me There by my friend Lex. I have sold out, also appearing WWE Goldust. We actually get into a wrestling match in the middle of the movie, so that's cool. You should definitely buy it on Blu-ray when it comes back available, or just buy it on DVD and Blu-ray. Treat yourself.
I'm on there too, man.
Oh, that's right. We all are.
Yeah. It's,
I think
Addie's a family
on there.
Family deal.
Lane's on there. Yeah. Shire's there. Yeah. Good.
So the whole crew, man. Check it out. So. Meet Goldust.
There,
there's quite a few Inspire Pro people on there, so I'll plug that a little bit. But yeah,
quite
good time.
Quite a few Anarchy guys.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
Good times. That's the main character. So backstage interview for us.
I always assume I'm the main character, so that's fair. You know, I mean, what's she ever done? Huh? She ever beat Bruiser Brody?
Probably not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Did Goldust may have. So
he might have, or at least his dad probably did.
On that note, we'll tune off. We'll move our Caterpillar teams for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If I call them our Secret Warriors team, I'll pretty much spoil everyone I put on my team. But, you know, We'll move those back.
Daisy, in mine.
Daisy Majors? Okay. Daisy. Shit, I may have
she's
to.
Be in mine.
I may have to reevaluate mine. So
yeah,
I was looking
like
pretty hard
like
at that Lincoln
somebody,
character.
You can't have them.
That's how we need to. We'll do the Civil War draft that way. This one will be a little bit more. So that's got to be
actually,
after Ant-Man.
Yeah, we can do that after Ant-Man. And that's probably a whole show unto itself.
Yeah, we got to get a feel for the Ant-Man character. We should have the actual picks, and then we should also be able to steal someone, you know, but only like one person to be like,
yeah.
Okay, person on my team, halfway through the movie, this person's going to turn on you, you know?
Oh, nice.
So we'll draft.
And we'll include TV, too.
Well, TV, too, yeah. TV definitely can be in there. So.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. We'll log off for tonight, and we'll see everybody next week.
See you, geeks.